Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 2, Ajamila delivered by the Vishnu Dutas, Text 18. Aganad Atava Jnana Uttama Shloka Namaya Sankirtitam Agam Pumso Edo Yatanala Agyanat, out of ignorance. Atava, or Gyanat, with knowledge. Uttama Shloka, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nama, the holy name. Yat, that which. Sankirtitam, chanted. Agam, sin. Pumsa, of a person. Dahet, burns to ashes. Eda, dry grass. Yata, just as. Anala, fire. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As the fire burns dry grass to ashes, so the holy name of the Lord, whether chanted knowingly or unknowingly, burns to ashes without fail all the reactions of one's sinful activities. Please repeat. As the fire burns dry grass to ashes, so the holy name of the Lord, whether chanted knowingly or unknowingly, burns to ashes without fail all the reactions of one's sinful activities. Purport. Fire will act regardless of whether handled by an innocent child or by someone well known, well aware of its power. For example, if a field of straw a dry grass is set afire, either by an elderly man who knows the power of fire, or by a child who does not, the grass will be burned to ashes. Similarly, one may or may not know the power of the chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, but if one chants the holy name, he will become free from all sinful reactions. Agyanat atava gyanat uttama shloka namayat sankirtitam agam pumso dahet edo yata nala. As the fire burns dry grass to ashes, so the holy name of the Lord, whether chanted knowingly or unknowingly, burns to ashes without fail all the reactions of one's sinful activities. And the Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Itaidam so samrigo kinira, basmat sat krute jana, kanagni sarva karmani, basmat sat krute tata. As the blazing fire turns firewood to ashes, so does the fire of knowledge burn to ashes all the reactions of one's previous activities. Pichad Sarva Pabebhyo Sarve Bhyak Papakrita Maha Sarvam Jnana Planevaiva Rijanam Santarishasi. Even if you are considered the most sinful of all sinners, if you are situated in the boat of transcendental knowledge, you'll be able to cross over the ocean of material miseries. Jnanehi Tadaginam Nihid Gyanena Sadrisham Pavitram Iha Vidyate Tatswayam Yoga Samsida Kalainatmane Vinati. In this world there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism, and one who has achieved this knowledge enjoys the self within himself in due course of time. Shadavan Labite Gyanam Tatpara Samatendriha jnana labdva param shantim achre nadigachate. A faithful person who is absorbed in this transcendental knowledge and who subdues his senses quickly achieves the supreme spiritual peace. Agyas chasradanas cha samshayasam vinashati. Agyas chasradanas cha samshayatma vinashati. Nanyam lokasi naparo nasukam samshayatmanaha. For those who are agyas chasradanas cha, those who have no faith, they obtain neither happiness in this world or in the next. What's the next word? Karmani, sannyasat. I forget the next one. Anyhow. Tasma agana sambuddham ritstam jnana sanatmanaha chitvayanam samshayam yogam atishto tishta bharata. What's the verse 441? What's that? Yoga sanyasa karmana jnana santena samshayam atmavantam nakarmani nivananti dananjaya. So what's the first word of that? I guess? No. Yoga sannyasta karmanam. Yoga sannyasta. One who renounces the fruits of his work. Yoga sannyasta karmana. Jnana samchita samsham. One whose doubts are cut by or slashed by transcendental knowledge. Yoga sannyasta karmanam. Jnana samchita samsham. Atmavantam nakarmani. Who is situated in the self is not bound by fruit of reactions. Atmavantam the karmani nibandhanti, and he's not bound by the results of his work. When he's situated in the self, he's not bound by the results of his work. So here he's talking about the about the wonderful effects of chanting the holy name, and that whether we know about whether it's conscious of the effects or not, still it works. So we may think that this is just for ordinary people, that they just don't know about the power of the holy name. But then again, how much do we actually know about the power of the holy name? Therefore, a certain amount of faith has to be there. Otherwise, why chant the holy name if we don't have any faith in the holy name? We think the holy name can only bring me up to this level, and I'm already there, so there's no sense chanting anymore because I'm not going anywhere. So that's called faithless. Agyas chasradanas cha. Agyas chasradanas samsayatma vinashiti. Nanyam lokasi naparo nasukam samsayatmanaha. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that some people, they have faith in the Vedic scriptures, or they have no faith in the Vedic scriptures. So they're certainly faithless. Some people have faith in the Vedic scriptures, but they think they don't follow them. Some people think the Vedic scriptures are just an exaggeration. And the worst ones, Prabhupada writes, so those who have no faith whatsoever, they don't believe in anything that we're saying. So in one sense, Krishna is achintya. He is inconceivable to think that someone could actually appear anywhere and everywhere, always, whenever someone chants his name, is inconceivable to us. We're lucky if we can just be present in here right now. To think that Krishna could be fully present anywhere and everywhere goes beyond our imagination. But then again, if Krishna was within our imagination, he couldn't be God. And the idea of what it will vanquish our sinful activities, or what does sinful activities mean?
There is.
Avidya, the reactions to our sinful activities. Avidya means we don't know who we are. We don't know actually what's going on. We don't know who the Supreme is. We don't actually know anything. What we do know is avidya. We know our false conceptions quite well. Or we may think we have some knowledge. For instance, we may know how to make a computer or fix a computer. We may know how to sing or dance or do other things. But ultimately, if we don't know who we are, we're in avidya. Now, if we think we know who we are, that's worse than not knowing who we are. So that's called asmita. And that's even worse than not knowing who we are. Asmita means we think we know who we are, but we're thinking the wrong thing. We think, I know who I am. If you ask someone on the street, who are you? They'll tell you immediately their material concept of who they think they are. So that's worse than not knowing who we are. If you have 1 plus 1 and you don't know what the result is, that's not so bad as if you have one, you add 1 plus 1 and you think it's 3. That's even worse. Because if someone tells you it's 2, you won't believe them. No, it's 3. You're arguing with them. So this asmita, this false ego, I really don't know who I am, but I'm imagining I'm something other than who I really am, and I'm attached to that conception. I think my interest is in maintaining my false ego and the things that go along with it. And as a result of that, my attachment to my false ego, therefore I have so many attachments and aversions. I like this person, I dislike that person, I like this, I dislike that. And we're absorbed in working according to our attachments and our aversions. And the result of that is abhivinivesita. We're always in anxiety and fearful. What's going to happen next? What's going to happen next to my body, mainly? Is someone going to appreciate my body? Is my body going to be well fed? Is it going to be a place for my body to sleep? Completely absorbed in the worshiping, serving, trying to make our body comfortable and free from stress. So this is called us, and because of that we're always fearful. Why? Because this body has to die. In spite of all our efforts, the body dies anyhow. We want to keep it comfortable, we want to keep it safe, but we're always a failure. So that's called abhinivesita. Fear of death. Absorption of material existence, and therefore fear of our coming demise. So the counter to that is the holy name. Paravas tavat abhoda jata paravas. Paravas means the feet. Pa, pa, ba, ma, ma. Working hard from the Sanskrit alphabet, pa, work hard work, and palena, foam at the mouth, like a horse. When it's working hard, then there's foam at the mouth. Then exhaustion, bita, and fear, bita. And then after that, ma, death. So aparava, a parava means that which counteracts this working hard, foam at the mouth, exhaustion, fear, and finally death. So the counteracting to that is to get free of our false ego. Not just to get free of our false ego, that's only the preliminary stage of success, but to acquire the real ego, that I am Gopi Bharata Pada Kamalayor Dasa Dasa Anudasa. So that's the consciousness in which we can actually get the effect of chanting Hare Krishna. That's the reactions of our past activities, is that we're forced to act according to our false ego and ignorance. And what counteracts that is acting in our real ego of being Krishna's eternal servant. And the result of that, when we chant the holy name, calling out to Krishna, then Krishna takes us seriously. If we act in the consciousness that I'm the servant of the servant of Krishna, and then we ask Krishna to engage us in his divine service, well, that is his divine, that's the beginning of his divine service. And if I think I'm this body, and we ask Krishna to engage us in his loving service, then how is he going to engage our dead body in his loving service? He has to engage ourselves as the soul. We have to engage the self in Krishna's loving service, not the dead body. Of course, we engage our bodies in Krishna's service also. But that's on the basis of the soul knowing its real identity, rather than engaging Krishna's service on the material basis. And if we do that, then the reactions, what are the reactions? As I said, vacha vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udrapasta vegam, etan vegam, yovashaheta dira, sarvam apimam, prativyam sashishat. There's an urge to speak, there's the urge to taste things, there's the urges of the mind, belly, and genitals, and there's the urges of the anger. So these are urges that are inspiring us to act according to the material concept of life. And they all promise us protection for our body, comfort for our body, if we fulfill these urges. But actually they just promise old age, disease, and death, and another birth again. That's what they're really going to give us. Whatever they're promising us, the ultimate benefit will be that. The ultimate result will be that. So one has to vacha vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udapasta vegam, etan vegam, yoga shaheta dhira. One has to become sober and try to act in Krishna consciousness. Then when we chant Hare Krishna, then we'll actually become conscious of Krishna. We'll remember Krishna. As there is no difference between the deity and Krishna, as there is no difference between the forms of Krishna painted in paintings or in carved in wood. So similarly, there's Krishna within the mind. If we remember Krishna, that is Krishna. It's not just some imagination, material imagination. Material imagination means we're imagining the wrong thing besides Krishna. But if we add Krishna to our imagination, then it's no longer material imagination. We're imaging the spiritual world. We're imaging the spiritual person, Krishna. And if we develop devotion to Krishna, then we can feel his presence. And if we feel Krishna's presence, Krishna is the nature of bliss. And that bliss burns away the reactions to our previous activities, the lust, the anger, the greed, the illusion, the envy, and the madness are burnt away in the fire of bliss of Krishna consciousness. And we become attached to hearing about Krishna because it's pleasurable. It's enlightening and it's enlivening, it's pleasurable. And therefore our relation with Krishna is that of pure unalloyed pleasure and love. And our relation with this body is that we want the body to have, we love the body, we worship the body because we want it to give us pleasure and happiness. And we have relationships with other things to give us pleasure and happiness, and we want to destroy other things because we're afraid they may interfere with our, or cause us unpleasantness. But in the material world, we may go on being pushed by the modes of material nature, either goodness, passion, ignorance, but we'll always wind up disappointed. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma. So indeed, Maharaj Rishabhdev is saying, indeed, I'm amazing. From the point of view of self-realized souls, this is all amazing. Nunam pramata. These people are certainly crazy, mad, insane. Of course, we think we're nice people, so we may be nice, but we're nicely insane. In the forest, Prabhupada said there are many animals. Some of them are tigers. Well, bad animal, bad animal. And some of them are deer. Oh, very nice animal. We pet the deer. Nice animal. But they're both animals. Deer or the tiger, they're animals. So we may think I'm a nice person. This is an illusion. We're a nice animal, that's all. We're nicely an illusion. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma. Because whatever we're doing in forgetfulness of Krishna. But we think it's completely normal. Because we're absorbed in this plan to make our lives happy and successful. We get a little praise from others and our heart blossoms in happiness. Finally, I'm being recognized. Finally, my false ego is paying off. I'm getting one little drop of nectar in the desert. Someone is appreciating my dead material body and my material concepts of life and my materialistic imagination. Someone has offered me a little praise, and therefore I'm feeling so good. Now someone's criticizing my dead material body. Someone's criticizing my conception of life. Someone is agitating my mind, and therefore I must get rid of them. I must destroy them or defeat them or whatever else. So this is all called vikarma. Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma. Yerindriya pritya aprinoti. I'm trying to satisfy my senses, but also my mind. I want people to love me, what I think is me. I want people to serve what I think is me. I want to have a good time as what I think is me. So, yerindriya pritya, I want to serve my mind and my senses. Nisadamanye, but a sober person, he's not just interested in this. It's not that we're against eating. Our philosophy is not against eating, but we should eat in Krishna consciousness. Not just as a servant of the senses, but as a servant of Krishna. We sleep not to satisfy our minds, we sleep to satisfy Krishna, so his body can be healthy and strong in his service. Similarly, we even have children to raise them in Krishna consciousness, to serve the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's just to satisfy my sense desire. And we defend, not because I feel good that I'm all powerful, but we defend because we want to protect Krishna's interests. The sadha manye yata atmano yam asana pi kleshida ashadeha. Because any other thing besides Krishna, besides doing things for Krishna, will simply result in misery. Not only misery now, but misery in the future, life after life. Paravastavada bodha jata yavanyana jignasita atmatatvam. Therefore, one is certainly defeated by ignorance as long as he doesn't inquire about his real identity as a spiritual soul and act accordingly. Because any activity done without Krishna consciousness, as it says here in the verse, we may think, well, I'm so nice, I'm such a nice person. I'm so innocent. I only try to do good things. Why is the material nature so nasty? Such a nice person as me causing me so much problems. I'm innocent. I don't know. I just do the best I can. And probably gives the example, a child, he may not know what is the effect of fire, but if he puts his hand in the fire, he's going to get burned. Doesn't matter how innocent he is. We may think ourselves a very nice person. We may get the praise of so many other people, how well we're doing. But if we're not in Krishna consciousness, then we're on the level of an ass or a cow. No matter how many other asses and cows praise us, we still become an ass, we remain an ass or a cow. Therefore, without doing our activities in Krishna consciousness, then we're going to get the effect of the illusory energy. Whether we like it or not, whether we think we deserve it or not, whether we think it's fair or not, whether we think it's democratic or undemocratic. That's the way the material nature works. And how do we know we're getting the effect? Because our minds are covered by material conceptions. Our minds are covered by anxiety, by hankering, lamentation, and therefore my consciousness is unclear. And because my consciousness is unclear, because I'm seeing things through my materialistic mind, therefore I'm going to have to get one body after another. Evamana karma prasam prayungte avidyatman upayogiyamane. As long as I'm acting in my conception that I am this body, as long as I'm thinking I am Brahman, I am Kshatriya, I am whatever, I am male or female, as long as we're not identifying ourselves as the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna and acting accordingly, finding out what they want us to do and then doing that to please them, as long as we're not doing that, then the result is that we're acting according to the upadis, our material conceptions. And what napriti yavan mai vasudeva. As long as we're not acting out of love for Krishna, namuchate yogena, namuchate deha yogena tadva, then there is no liberation. There's no liberation from the material concept of life. There's no liberation from having to take one body after another. Therefore, we should chant Hare Krishna, and it'll have its effect. It'll have more of an effect if we study the philosophy and accept it and apply it in our lives, but still it'll have its effect, because Krishna is there, although we may not be there. We may be unconscious, but the holy name will have its effect. It's like even if you're far away from fire, you still get a little warmth. And the closer you get to the fire, the more you'll be able to experience the warmth and the heat and the light. Of course, it's better to be close to the fire as possible. Just like we know the story of the man and the yogi. The yogi said, I can stay in ice water in the winter up to my neck the whole night. And the man said, I don't believe you. I'll give you a big donation if you can do that. So the yogi went into the ice water, freezing ice water in the middle of the winter, up to his neck the whole night. He was chanting Hare Krishna. The next morning, the yogi came to the man and said, please give me the donation you promised. I was in the whole night. He said, no, you cheated. He said, what do you mean I cheated? I was in the ice water the whole night. You saw me there. No, I saw you were cheating. 3 miles away, or 5 kilometers away, someone had a candle they were burning. And you were, because of your yogic powers, you were taking the heat from that candle. He said, what? Taking heat from a candle 5 kilometers away? He said, yes, that's why I'm not going to give you anything. So the servant of this rich man was there, and he realized, wow, my master is a real cheater. I better teach him a lesson. So the next day the master said to his servant, I have a very important business I have to do in this town, so please cook. So we have to make the journey and cook, have the meal ready as soon as possible. So he said, no problem. Yes, master, whatever you say. So an hour went by. He said, is it ready? We got to go soon. He said, no, it's still cooking. Just be patient. Another half an hour went by. Well, isn't it ready now? No, it's still cooking. Don't worry. Just be patient. So the master went in and said, what's wrong? Why is it taking so long? So he saw the pot was all the way on a stand, a big tripod. And the fire was below. And he said, what are you doing? Why don't you put the pot on the fire? Then you'll actually get some heat. He said, no, I was listening to you. You told the yogi that he was able to get fire heat from 5 kilometers away, so I figured the pot would be able to get the heat from 5 kilometers away also, if necessary. So then the man realized he was cheating and he paid the yogi. So we want to get the heat, we want to become Krishna conscious, we want to be in the fire. We say he's in the fire of Krishna consciousness. But we have to get close to the fire to actually get the heat and light. And therefore we have the 10 offenses, we have the Shikshastika prayers by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We have a whole philosophy is how to get dear to the holy name, how to become dear to the holy name, so the holy name becomes dear to us. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
So when we advance in Krishna consciousness, do we lose this desire of being accepted? You're talking this in the sense of false ego, something we want to be accepted. So is this absent later on, or how does it?
Yeah, completely. We want to be accepted. Well, it's not absent. It just changes. We want to be accepted by our eternal guides in disciple succession. We want to be accepted by the desires of Krishna as manifested by his pure devotees. So we want to be accepted by them. Whether other people accept us or not has no value to us. Because if Krishna and his pure devotees accept us, then we're actually accepted. Anything else?
Thank you for the class, Maharaj. The last sentence you said, that we have to become dear to the holy name so the holy name can become dear to us. Sometimes we think it's vice versa. We first have to make efforts so the holy name can become dear to us. But you were saying we have to endear ourselves to holy name. So it's kind of interesting.
Well, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada said, don't try to work to see Krishna. Try and work in such a way that Krishna will want to see you. So if we work in such a way as endear ourselves to the holy name and Krishna comes and sees us, reveals himself to us, then when we realize how wonderful Krishna is, how wonderful his devotees are, then they become very dear to us.
Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.